Good morning, everyone. How are we?
Yeah, good.
Good? Can't believe it's only 3 weeks to the buffet. Travis, could you turn the lights on, please? Thanks. Yeah, it's amazing. It's only 3 weeks to the Christmas buffet. And as Vicky was saying, I think it was actually 2012 that year, but Vicky's dad was really moved by that night at the Christmas buffet, and I hadn't seen him eat that much for quite a long time. He couldn't eat much food at the time. He was actually quite thin, but he had taste, stomach issues. So miracles happen at the buffet, so bring your families along. It's going to be a good night. Well, this morning I'm going to talk from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1, a story I like very much. It's a great story about how Jesus healed a man who was paralysed. Similar accounts also given in the books of Matthew and Luke, but this morning I'm going to talk mainly from the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, the word says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' First and foremost, Jesus said to the crippled man, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" Now, that's the greatest gift he could ever receive. That's the greatest gift anyone can ever receive, the gift of salvation. But hearing what Jesus said, the Pharisees, or the religious leaders at the time in the room, were shocked and were thinking, only God can forgive sins. They were thinking, this is blasphemy. How can he claim to be God? But Jesus knew what they were thinking. It's always a timely reminder that too. Jesus knows what we're thinking. Jesus knew what the Pharisees were thinking. The Pharisees were spiritually blind. They couldn't see that Jesus is Lord and has authority to forgive sins. Anyway, knowing their thoughts, Jesus responded to them by saying in Mark chapter 2, verse 9, "Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk?'" You know, it was a rhetorical question, which is a question made more to make a point than to get an answer, because you can't answer that question. Both things are humanly impossible. Yeah, it's not possible for a man to say to someone that all of your sins are forgiven. Only God has the power to forgive someone of all their sins. Likewise, it's impossible for someone to heal a paralyzed man. Only God could heal a paralyzed man. Mark 2, verse 10, Jesus said, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, the Pharisees didn't want to believe that Jesus had the power to forgive sins. They didn't want to believe that Jesus had the power to save people. They couldn't see it. So Jesus gave them something that they could see. He told the man to stand up and walk. In front of their very eyes, they saw the miracle. They saw a man healed from paralysis. Through this visible miracle, Jesus showed that he's God. In obedience to his word, the paralyzed man stood up, picked up his mat, and went home glorifying God. Through this visible miracle, Jesus also showed that he has the power, he has the authority to forgive sins, to save people, to reconcile them with God. You could say that the forgiveness of sins is like a hidden miracle, but the healing of the man's disease was like a visible miracle. Now, I really like this story because it clearly shows the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to forgive sins and to heal the sick. Now, there is power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, today there's still power and authority in his name if we call out to him. We need to call out to Jesus. You know, what I also like about this story is how Jesus reacted when he saw those four men lowering that paralyzed man down through the ceiling. The word says that Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. You know, I find that quite profound. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, has all power and authority, saw their faith. He was moved by their faith. Who would like Jesus Christ to say to you, I see your faith. I see your faith. You know, I know I would. You know, there's probably many ways that Jesus could see these guys' faith in what they did. But this morning I'm going to talk about seven ways that I think that their faith was clearly visible to Jesus Christ. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, you are wonderful and we give you the praise. We thank you, Lord. Lord, you're our Redeemer and our Healer. And Lord, I just pray that you speak through me to deliver your message. I pray that what's said is from you, Lord, and I pray that you are glorified through it all. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, with regard to Jesus seeing these guys' faith, first and foremost, these guys showed faith by simply believing in Jesus. These guys would have heard about the miracles going on at the time, what Jesus was performing, and they would have truly believed that Jesus could heal their friend. Otherwise, I don't think they would have gone to so much trouble. You know, they had confidence in Jesus Christ. They believed that what he said he'd do, he'd do it. That gave them a strong foundation, a determination to get their friend to Jesus Christ, no matter what. Notice that they didn't just sit there. They didn't just wait for God to come to them. No, their strong belief made them determined to get their friend to Jesus Christ, no matter what. There's a scripture, I haven't got it on the screen, but in Jeremiah 29:13, the word says that if you seek him, if you search for him with your heart, you will find him. You know, there's a role for us to play too. You know, through prayer, through reading the word, through communing with God. These guys not only believed in the word of God, they felt compelled to act on the word of God. Now, it's one thing believing in the word of God, it's another thing doing the word of God. Can you relate to that out there? You know, put your faith in the word of God and act on the word. You know, secondly, these guys showed their faith through their compassion for their sick mate. God calls us to show compassion towards our brothers and sisters. And when I say compassion, I don't just mean feeling sorry for someone, you know, which is okay, or feeling sympathy towards someone. True compassion involves actively helping someone, doing something for them. And they did. These guys did. They physically carried him to Jesus. You know, carrying that weight, the weight of a man, that wouldn't be light. Wouldn't be easy. It would be tiring. And, you know, we don't know how far these guys carried him too. It could have been, you know, for days. We don't know. But because of their compassion for him, they felt compelled to take him to Jesus. They were compassionate people. Thirdly, these guys showed their faith by not giving up when hitting obstacles. When they got to the house, they saw it was full of people. The crowd was stopping them from getting in. You know, they could have easily said, okay, you know, we did our best. That's it, you know, tick. But no, they found another way. They went upstairs and through the roof of the house. You know, sometimes when you're leading someone to Christ, you know, it can feel like you're hitting a brick wall. Can anyone relate to that? Maybe a show of hands. Can anyone relate to that? Yes. I know I have over the years. You know, at work, you know, I've been witnessing to some guys, I reckon, for over 10 years. I've worked in a similar job for a long time, and it can often feel like you've hit a brick wall. They haven't outwardly said that they believe in Christ, but at different times I've felt really, really close. I felt like they've been really close to making a decision. In fact, some of them have even said that they wish they had the kind of faith that I have. So they're a good crew. You know, even though I haven't seen a lot of visible changes over the years, the good thing is I'm still able to talk into their lives. They haven't blocked me out. Yeah, I not only have a voice in their life, but my actions have a role too. Over the years, we've had a few Christmas do's, and I've often been asked to be skipper at these do's. And they'd say, John, do you mind driving the bus? And go, yeah, no worries, that's okay. You know, they trust that I'm going to get them home safely. I'm going to do the right thing, which is a good way to witness. You know, I might not be the one that brings them to Christ or sees them come to Christ. You know, someone else might do that, but I'm not going to give up on them. You know, just like Vicky didn't give up on her dad. You know, her dad was a pretty hard nut too, and for him to apologise that night was quite incredible for the things he'd done to repent. Like I'm saying, this is a real miracle that night driving home. And the wonderful thing is that Vicky's dad gave his heart to Jesus before he moved on. So never give up. Never give up on your friends, family. You just don't know by your actions what's happening and God's speaking to them. The fourth way these guys showed their faith was not being worried about what people thought of them. And, you know, we can easily fall into that category. You know, when those guys climbed up on the roof and lowered their mate through the ceiling, can you imagine the scene? There were a lot of people there gathered in this room to hear Jesus speak. There were some pretty important people in that room. The book of Luke says that there were religious leaders from every village of Galilee and from Judah and Jerusalem. Basically, there were a lot of bigwigs in the room. And while these important people were sitting there listening to Jesus speak, suddenly they would have heard this enormous racket going on in the roof. They would have looked up and thought, what on earth is going on here? There would have been bits of plaster, branches, debris falling on people's heads. You know, just got to put it into context, into perspective, what was happening here. You know, they would have looked up and seen a man being lowered down through the roof. You know, these guys interrupted a major meeting and they might have looked pretty foolish, but I don't think they were that worried about how they looked. You know, they obviously weren't intimidated by those important people in the room because they would never have done that if they were. Why? Because they're more concerned about getting their mate to Jesus. You know, sometimes when you're witnessing to someone, you can feel a bit intimidated, a bit silly. But in the scheme of things, does it really matter? Does it really matter? You know, what's more important, our own reputations or seeing people get saved? You know, the fifth way these guys showed their faith was being prepared. When they lowered that guy down through the hole in the roof, the word doesn't say it, but I reckon they would have used ropes. I just have a vision of them using ropes, and when I've heard the story before, I see ropes, but it doesn't actually state it in the Bible. But, you know, if they did use ropes lowering this guy, where did these ropes come from? I reckon these guys brought the ropes. I reckon if they were using the ropes, they would have brought them, because these guys, to me, seem really prepared for different scenarios. You know, I know some guys, when they go camping, they're very prepared. They take everything. It's almost like you need two vehicles when you go camping with them. You know, they take recovery gear to get themselves out of trouble, you know, like air compressors and winches and high lift jacks, shovels, snatch straps. You know, they take fridges, deluxe fridges, you know, ice cream, just about everything. Emergency beacons. Amen, Les. I hear you. And it's the same thing when coming to leading someone to Christ. It's good to be prepared. And the ways we can be prepared, just reading your Bible. Have God's word planted in your heart. Have some scriptures planted in your heart. So someone does bring it up at work by chance when you're just driving along in the bush in the middle of nowhere. You have some word to speak into their lives. Read the word. Another great way to be prepared is to know your testimony. Learn your testimony. I love that testimony about Fred this morning, Vicky. Hadn't heard that for quite a while. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, what is my testimony? What's my testimony? How's it changed my life? How's it changed your life? Recall that so you're prepared, you're ready for those moments. You know, it could be a salvation testimony, healing testimony, answered prayer. What's Christ done for you? Learn your testimony. Keep it fresh in your mind. So when someone asks you why you put your hope in Christ, why do you have faith in Christ? You have an answer. You can give them an answer, your own personal testimony. Be prepared. My sixth point, I'm getting through the points. So my sixth point about how these guys showed their faith was through their sacrifice. They made sacrifices along the journey. You know, they believed that Jesus could heal their friend, and they were prepared to make a sacrifice to get him there. You know, these guys, again, you have to put it into context, you have to think about it. They probably took time off work to get their friend to Jesus. You know, they were away from their families, made a sacrifice there, sacrificed their time. When they opened the roof, think about that as well. They probably had to pay to get it fixed. There's another sacrifice. These guys made sacrifices, and we're called to make sacrifices too. And, you know, it might be a sacrifice of time, finances. You know, working in church is a sacrifice too. But, you know, serving God, from my experience though, when you serve God, He blesses you for it. He blesses you every time when you serve God. You cannot lose. You know, God's a rewarder of those who seek Him, follow Him, obey Him. We serve a good God, and I'm so glad we do. My seventh and last point of how these guys showed their faith was through their unity. They were unified. Again, look through. They had the same cause. They worked together to bring their mate to Christ. When they were carrying him to Jesus, they probably each carried one corner of the mat. When they got to the house that Jesus was at and they couldn't get in, they probably worked together to come up with another plan. When they got up on the roof, they again worked together to lower their mate to Jesus. They kept working as a team. I think unity among Christians is a strong outward sign of our faith in Christ. People are looking and they see when you're unified, like that it has power. In John chapter 13, verse 35, the word says, "Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." It's a great outward sign and a commandment from God. Yeah, one of the true outward signs of being a Christian is having a love for your brothers and sisters. And I think that kind of love requires divine power, because sometimes we're not that lovable. Maybe I'm the only one speaking here, but we are not always lovable. But having Christ inside of us, calling on God, changes your heart, changes the way you look at people, changes the way you think about people. You focus less on yourself and think more about other people. But that can only happen through God, through God's divine power, through the Holy Spirit being inside of us. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to love one another. You know, if we love one another and support one another, we will be fully unified. And unity is an amazing thing. I believe that if we are united with God and with one another, God can do amazing things through us. When the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, the believers were what? Of one accord, yes. They were unified. And after being filled with the Holy Spirit, they did amazing miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the same for us too. Incredible miracles happen through unity in Christ. Daniel, could you please come up? Thanks. With the band. Yeah, with regards to the story of the four men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus, I believe that their faith was clearly visible to Jesus because they believed in him. They believed that Jesus could heal their friend, and that belief compelled them to act to get their friend to Jesus. I think their faith was visible through their compassion. They showed compassion to their friend. Their faith was visible through their determination. They could have given up a few times, but they didn't. Their faith was visible by not being worried, not being worried about what people think of them. They were more concerned about getting their friend to Christ than worried about what your neighbour thinks of you. Their faith was visible by being prepared. Their faith was visible through the sacrifices they made for their friend. And their faith was also clearly visible in the way they worked together through their unity. You know, I'm sure there's other ways that their faith was visible to Christ. But because of their faith, God blessed them. You know, we're not saved by works. We're only saved by the grace of God. But God calls us to let our faith be visible. In James 2, verse 17, James said, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works is dead." In James 2, 18, James goes on to say, "I will show you my faith by my deeds." Or, "I will show you my faith by what I do." You know, works are not the root of our salvation. God's grace is the root of our salvation. But our works are the fruit. Good works are a visible outward sign that we are saved. The way people know that you have faith, they see that you have faith, is when you demonstrate it in your life. "I will show you my faith by what I do." And I think it's really important to show your faith in this world. You know, sadly, it does seem to be getting darker, the world. You know, the past 5 to 10 years, seen some horrible things happen, shocking things, terrorism overseas, terrorism in Australia. And as a kid, as a young man, I truly never believed I would see terrorism in Australia. You know, there's darkness in the world, there's no doubt about it, but as believers in Christ, as people of faith in God, we have the solution. And what's the solution? The solution is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can save you. And through Jesus Christ, you can have healing and joy, even in a dark world. But our faith in Christ is too good It's too good just to be kept hidden. Let your faith in Jesus Christ be clearly visible for everyone to see. Believe in God's word. Do God's word. Show compassion. Be determined. Follow Christ. Don't worry about what people think of you. Be prepared by knowing God's word and have your testimony on your heart. Make sacrifices for God and seek unity at all times. You know, through our deeds, through the way we live our lives, we can demonstrate the faith we have. And you may know the good news, but people out there need to know the good news too. And people need hope. People need to be set free. And one of the ways you can spread the good news is by letting your faith be visible in your lives. Let your faith be visible. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Lord, you are wonderful. You are a good God, a loving God, a compassionate God. Lord, I pray that we have a faith that is visible to the world. Lord, I pray that when people speak to us, they see something different inside of us. They see our actions. They see what we're doing. They go, that there's something happening there. And they think, you know, maybe I want to have that kind of faith they have. Lord, I just pray that our faith is grounded in your word. Lord, I pray that we stay strong to your word. We don't deviate off your word. Lord, I pray that we have a faith that's compassionate for people, a faith that's prepared to make sacrifices, that we don't just think of ourselves, but Lord, we're prepared to make sacrifices for you, sacrifices for our brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray for a faith that doesn't want to give up. I pray that we have a faith that goes on and on and on, that we never give up. No matter what obstacles we hit, no matter what obstacles we're going through right at this minute, we do not give up our faith in you. Lord, I pray that we have a faith that's prepared. I pray that we have a hunger to learn your word, to plant your word on our hearts so we're prepared when we speak to people. And Lord, I pray that we keep our testimonies fresh in our mind so we're prepared to let people know what God has done for me. Lord, I pray that we have a faith that's prepared to stand up for God. And you know what? There's some more challenges coming forward. We are facing challenges right now with our faith in God. But Lord, I just pray that we stand firm with our faith in God. And no matter what people think of us, we are prepared to stand up for you because you are good and loving and worthy. You are worthy of us standing up for you, Lord. We have so much in you. And Lord, I pray that we are unified with you. I pray that we are unified with one another for the road ahead, that we're together as one group of one accord. And Lord, I know you are going to do amazing things through us. You already have. We give you the thanks, Lord, for what you've done. And Lord, I just pray for strength. I pray that we are strong people, people of courage, prepared to witness to people and to stand up for the word of God. And finally, Lord, I also pray for passion. I pray that we are passionate people, Lord, passionate for you and passionate for one another. A passion and a belief to see people set free and healed. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name, amen.